In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So our Lord gives us a challenging gospel. And the end, if you don't remember, was this. Everyone who acknowledges me before my heavenly Father, I will acknowledge. Everyone who acknowledges me before others, I will acknowledge before my heavenly Father. But whoever denies me before others, I will deny before my heavenly Father. Simply put, a disciple acknowledges Jesus Christ as the risen Son of God to others, and that disciple identifies himself or herself as a disciple. Now, this is our purpose. It's the purpose of the church, the reason we exist. Why else are we in existence? And we see we get in trouble. We start going off the rails whenever we lose this focus. So I'm going to repeat some of the last words, and I've done this before, and as long as I'm here as your priest, you're going to hear me say this last words of Jesus in St. Matthew's Gospel. Listen. Go, therefore, make disciples of all nations. Baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Teach them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always until the end of the age. This is such a struggle for us, isn't it? For some reason, we don't mind letting people know where we stand in terms of, say, a political party. We readily evangelize for political parties all the time. Some might even mistake them for our actual religion. There is not one of them, not one of them that can bring us or anyone else to heaven. Nearly the same could be said for our favorite sports teams. Sports have their place and they're really great. But we really evangelize for sports teams. We even have phrases like what? Hey, we won the game, right? Or, you know, we showed them who's boss. Well, there's no we in that. It was actually a group of men and women on the field that actually did all the work. But that's how closely we identify with them. Again, like a political party, a sports team cannot save us. The world already has a savior, and he is not running for office in this world. So, we evangelize with astonishing enthusiasm for politics or sports and a thousand other things, but when it comes to our faith, we often, most often, keep it quiet, even secret. How many times I have heard it, people knew each other for years. They were neighbors in the same neighborhood, would run into each other and chat. They'd see each other at the grocery store, and then they saw each other at a parish event and said, I didn't know you were Catholic. They just went to a different mass time. They talked about every topic except faith, which is the most important one. What I say to you in the darkness, Christ implores us, speak in the light. What you hear whispered, proclaim on the housetops. If our faith is meaningful, then we need to let the world know about this gift. To be a living disciple of Jesus Christ is a choice. But if we choose to be one, then there are certain characteristics of discipleship that should be evident in our lives. Otherwise, we're disciples in name only. So if you, for instance, choose to play soccer, well, don't use your hands, unless you're the goalie, but then you're confined to the little box, right? And if you choose to play golf, you can't go change the rules to say, well, I think the highest score should win. Well, that would be better, wouldn't it? So, and still call it golf, you can't. So our faith, eternal life, Jesus, the God-man, these things are far more important than soccer or golf or football or whatever. Every one of our Lord's first apostles died a martyr's death, except St. John, who still did not live a life full of roses and picnics by the water sipping champagne. He spent a good bit of that time in exile. Now, some of you may want to close your ears for the next part, but I think it's important to know how willing these people were to hand on the faith to you and me. St. Peter was crucified upside down in Rome. He didn't feel like he could be crucified the way the Lord was. St. Paul was beheaded also in Rome. St. James the Greater was beheaded in Jerusalem. St. Andrew was crucified on a cross in the shape of an X. That's why Scotland has that St. Andrew's cross on their flag. St. Bartholomew was skinned alive and then crucified, as if skinning alive wasn't enough, in Armenia. St. Philip was stoned and then crucified in Turkey. St. Thomas was speared to death in India. St. James the Lesser was hurled from the city walls of Jerusalem and then beaten to death with stones and clubs. St. Jude Thaddeus was shot to death by arrows in Persia while tied to a cross. St. Matthew was either burned or stabbed to death. We're not sure which one, but neither one is a really pleasant way to go. Simon the Zealot is even worse. They sawed him to pieces in the kingdom of Jordan. St. Matthias was burned in Syria. All they had to do to save their lives was stop talking about Jesus Christ, stop witnessing. But friends, what they saw, the resurrected Christ and all that he said and did, they couldn't keep quiet. They were willing to give their lives because they knew there's much more yet to come. These witnesses to the faith were not one thing. They were not lukewarm. Archbishop Fulton Sheen said this once, "What is lukewarmness? Lukewarmness is love without sacrifice. There's no effort being made, doing the minimum. And love cannot be reduced to the indispensable minimum. Love requires, it even demands the maximum in marriage or in friendship. If you constantly do the minimum to get by in a relationship, do you really think that that will last? I will give you a hint, it does not, right? But if we're willing to sacrifice ourselves, that burning love gives a witness. So why don't we witness? Why do we try often to hide our faith? Often it's fear. What are we afraid of? Usually what other people will think about us. Maybe we want to get ahead in the world, and Jesus can certainly be a liability there. So we keep him quiet, and we just hope he'll be merciful. Of course, he is merciful. But can we call that love of him the minimum? Three times in six verses today, Jesus says, "Do not be afraid. Do not fear." Are you afraid? Don't be. Claim the supernatural courage he offers you. What I say to you in the darkness, speak in the light. What you hear whispered, proclaim on the housetops. Praised be Jesus Christ, now and forever. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.